Welcome to the Simple Money, Simple Life podcast. I am Matt Erickson and I'm your host. This is a podcast where we explore how simplicity beats complexity, especially in money matters. We explore investing, personal finance, and how to live a simple and awesome life. Welcome to episode number 4, Investing Basics Part 2. When I was a young boy, I talked in another episode about some of the work I have done over the years. Another job I had as a very young boy was, as I mentioned, my dad was a teacher. So as a teacher, he would try to supplement his income by doing other jobs. He farmed for a while. He did sprinklers for a lot of years. Before the sprinklers, we would do foundation work. So what would happen is the people would pour the foundations, and then my brothers and my dad and I would go and paint tar on the bottom of the foundations to help them be waterproof. So I would help sweep the dust off of the foundation, and then my dad would usually do the painting. And I have some memories of this. It was a long time ago when I was quite a young kid. I remember asking my dad about foundations because, you know, you just, as a little kid, you look at this ugly slab of cement and wonder what it's all about. And I remember him telling me that the foundation was the most important part of the house. He said that without the foundation, the rest of the building would crumble and fall and the house would be no good at all. And so our work in prepping the foundation was really important so that the house could stand strong and not leak water and provide a good foundation for the house. In personal finance, there's a foundation is key. Without a good foundation, everything can crumble around you. And one of the things that I wanted to focus on during these investing podcasts that we're doing right now is understanding that having a good basic knowledge of these concepts that we started talking about last time will help us to create a solid foundation upon which our investing house and our savings house can be built. So we tapped into some of the concepts around investing last week, and we need to build on that this week to give you a little bit more knowledge about investing terms and how to get started. So one term we did not talk about last week, which we're going to talk about this week, is called market capitalization. So in the investing world, they break companies down into large cap, mid cap, and small cap. So what that means is each company is worth a different amount of money. So what market capitalization or market cap means is it's the market value of a publicly traded company's outstanding shares. So a market cap is equal to the price of the share multiplied by the number of shares that have been issued. So that's why companies like Facebook and Amazon and Google are huge companies, because they have many shares and they have their price per share is a lot of money. So those companies are worth billions of dollars. Any company that is worth, according to that market capitalization formula I just shared, any company that's worth over $10 billion is considered a large cap fund, or a large cap company. So like I said, Apple, Microsoft, Google, Facebook, those are examples of large cap businesses. So mid cap businesses are businesses that have market capitalization of 2 to 10 billion. So some examples of those might be Scotts Miracle-Gro, Chipotle, Yeti, and then small cap is under $2 billion. So a lot of those companies you probably haven't heard of. There's a lot of technology companies, biotech companies, financial companies. And so in a portfolio of that you own, it's always good to own some of each of large cap companies, mid cap companies, and small cap companies. And we'll talk in a little bit about how to go about making sure you're doing that, because all these companies tend to do better at different times and worse at different times. So having some of all of them is a good way to diversify your portfolio. So just to take a break from the terms for a minute, I'd like to share a quick story about investing and why investing and doing it the right way is so important. So I have a really good friend. She's been a friend for many years, and she has been a very successful investor. She's saved a lot of money. She's worked really hard for her money, and she's been very smart with her money. She has always lived within her means, and she saves a large chunk of her income to this day. And she's built up a very nice nest egg. She's just built a beautiful home, and she's doing great. However, early in her investing career, when I used to work with her, she started investing in a 401k we had through Fidelity. And so after she worked for the company I worked for a few years, and then she left and moved on to a different company. And when she left, she kind of left her 401k as it was and didn't really look into it. Several years later, she went back to figure out what was going on with that fund, and she had realized that her 401k had been left in a money market fund. And so all these years passed where her money could have been earning a much higher rate of return had it been invested in stocks, and it was just sitting in a money market account earning nothing. So that money just sat there for years without working for her. This was a really good lesson she learned, and she's never done it again. She's kept her investments in the market ever since and has never pulled them out. She leaves them in through thick and thin so that they can grow. So that's a mistake she made, but certainly learned from it and is a great investor now. So a couple investing mistakes I have made through the years that I think I ought to share just because it might help you to avoid making these mistakes. So when I had my 401k through work, I tended to, once I started learning about this, I would look at the fund lineup and I would analyze it, look at it, and I would look at the past performance. And then I would choose the funds based on the past performance. And a lot of people think this is intuitive and this is a smart way to invest. Even Dave Ramsey encourages people to look at past performance. But one thing as an investor you always, always need to remember, which is past performance is no guarantee of future results. So oftentimes when a mutual fund or a stock has done well in the past, it might not do well in the future. And so it's not a good way to pick a mutual fund based on past performance. Another thing I would do is I kept switching my strategy. I remember buying a healthcare fund and several actively managed funds that I didn't really understand, and I kept switching them around. I could never settle on a strategy. I eventually honed in on the strategy once I learned about index investing, which I explained in the last episode, and I finally honed in on a strategy and have stuck with it. But luckily, I didn't take my money out of the market during that time, so I didn't lose a lot of money by doing what I was doing, but it's kind of a costly strategy to keep bouncing around and changing what funds you're investing in. It's good to just find out what you want to do and stick with it. So as you look at the mutual funds available, there's thousands of them on the market. What if you have a 401k and you're trying to decide what to invest in, or you have an IRA and you're trying to invest in something but you don't know where to start? A great place to start is, remember, look for an index fund. It will usually say it in the label. The best thing you could start with would be called a total market index fund. Vanguard sells these. Fidelity has them. T. Rowe Price, Schwab, they all have a total market index fund. And in each one of these total market index funds, they typically will hold the same companies, and they'll be very similar. They'll just have a different label based on the company that owns them. So if you're starting out in a 401k or starting out with a Roth IRA, start with a total market index fund. Let me explain what that is. What a total market index fund is, it holds large cap companies, mid cap companies, and small cap companies. It owns all 3,500 publicly traded stocks in the United States. So in one simple total market index fund, you can own 3,500 different stocks and be invested in 3,500 different companies. So when those companies make profit, you benefit. You can own a total market index fund for next to nothing, 0.01%, 0.02% if you invest in the right company. So if you invest in one simple fund, you can have great diversification across small, mid, and large cap companies. And one quick thing I want to explain to you. So imagine a square. Imagine 9 equally sized small squares within that square. So 3 rows and 3 columns inside the square. Down the vertical side of the box, imagine it saying, imagine down the vertical side, it says large, mid, and small. Across the horizontal, value, blend, and growth. So by now, you should know what large, mid, and small means. I want to explain to you what value, blend, and growth means across the horizontal part of this box. So there's different kinds of companies that you buy in one of these index funds. There's value companies and there's growth companies. Growth companies are companies where the stock price is quite expensive. They're companies that often don't pay a dividend, but they reinvest their money back into their company. So growth companies are Facebook, Amazon, Google, the ones that are doing really well right now. Value companies tend to have lower priced stock that where it's not quite as high priced. And some value companies might be Johnson & Johnson, for example, or Ford, or maybe McDonald's. And so historically, we're going to get into this in another episode, but value companies tend to make a little bit more than growth companies. However, over the last decade, growth companies have done a lot better than value companies. So I don't try to guess which is going to do better, large companies, small companies, growth companies, value companies. We'll get into the research in another episode, what it says about all these returns on these companies. But what I like to do is own them all. Then you don't have to play a guessing game of which one's going to do better this year. So in a total market index fund, you can own all of those companies, and you can own both small, mid, and large, and also value and growth companies, which is awesome. So I want to walk you through an example, which we'll often do on these podcasts. This example is called the 40K millionaire. So let's say there's someone who has a job and she earns $40,000 a year as her starting salary and never gets a raise her entire working career. Just makes $40,000 her whole career. Let's say she spends 80% of her money and she saves 20%. And she earns a 10% return, which is historical average with the stock market. In 40 years, which would be a typical career, she would have in her retirement account $3.5 million based on making a $40,000 salary. That is the beauty of compound interest. And it reminds me of a quote that I really like by Henry David Thoreau, where he said, "I make myself rich by making my wants few." And so someone making $40,000 is going to be tempted to spend all 100%. But if you can make your wants few and live a simple life and invest 20% of it, which is a lot, I realize, you can be a multimillionaire by the time of retirement. Now, I know these examples might be a little hard to follow over by voice instead of seeing it in front of you, but I want to run a few examples by you just to give you some context. Now, I'm going to take an example of Donald and Nathan. Let's say they start investing at age 20, both Donald and Nathan. Donald invests $95 a month, and so does Nathan. Donald invests his money in the stock market, in a total market index fund, which I was just talking about, and he earns an average of 10%. $95 a month, remember. And Nathan puts his money into his savings account at the bank, making 1%. At age 65, Donald will have over $1 million in his account. Nathan, in his savings account, will have $64,957. So, as you can see, someone who is afraid of the stock market or thinks it's gambling or doesn't want to risk it, the risk is you might end up at age 65 with $64,000 instead of over $1 million. So it's really important to consider that this example of Donald and Nathan brings out a couple interesting points. If one can start young, Donald started at the age of 20. And remember, he only put in $95 a month, but he still retired with over $1 million, which is a powerful, powerful example. So I want to run one more scenario past you. I'll use Nathan and Donald one more time. And this scenario has to do with how to make $2 million. So let's say Donald and Nathan make $4,000 a month, which would be about $50,000 a year, close to it. And they invest from the ages of 25 to 64. Let's say that Donald spends all $4,000 of his dollars per month. And Nathan spends $3,200 of his month, but invests $800 of it in a total market index fund. So Donald, when he gets to retirement, obviously he will have nothing saved. He will have to probably make around a little under $2,000 a month on Social Security, and that will be his retirement, which is a fairly meager income to live on through your retirement years, where you might want to visit grandkids or go places or maybe go on vacation or buy a new vehicle. Now, Nathan, who invested $800 a month, only earning 7%, I even reduced it, his net worth at age 65 would be $2.1 million. Simply by investing a part of his $4,000 a month salary. Warren Buffett, who owns Berkshire Hathaway and is one of the best investors of our time, said no one wants to get rich slowly. People can get rich slowly simply by choosing to invest every month and doing it consistently throughout their life and not giving themselves excuses of why they can't or why they can't afford to or why they shouldn't. I've talked with a lot of people about this concept, and I've run into a lot of people who just feel like they can't afford to invest. And my answer back to them is you can't afford not to invest. I believe in pay yourself first. And in my personal opinion, I also pay charity first and then live off the rest. It's a simple way to live. Even if you start with a small percentage of your income, start saving something. Start investing something now. It's never too late. It doesn't matter if you're 20 or you're 40 or 50. It's time to start investing if you haven't. Now, as we kind of start to look at wrapping up this episode, just a few things I want to review about what we've talked about in investing. Remember, you can invest in stocks, bonds, and cash. Stocks are going to, at least historically, have given you the highest rate of return. And going forward, I assume the future will look somewhat like the past. At least I assume so. So bonds and cash right now are yielding or providing very low rates of return. Stocks historically have given us 10, 11% over the last many, many years. So I want to review six keys very quickly before we finish up this episode on investing. Start early. Number one is start early. Start early in your life. I'm going to share an episode in the near future about starting a Roth IRA for your young kids and how powerful that can be. And just to give you a teaser for that episode, every dollar you invest as a 20-year-old compounds 88 times over. So you can think of it as every dollar you invest right now as a 20-year-old is like investing, getting $88 for your $1. And so that just gives you a glimpse into the power of compounding. The tip, key number two, is to invest 10 to 20% of your income. I know this is hard, but I think it's doable for most people if they sit down and create a plan. Step three is to diversify. If you just invest in one stock, it's very, very risky. You remember the story about my parents and their bank stock, how it went from $80 a share to $20 a share and has never recovered. That can happen with single stocks. If you're diversified in a total market index fund with 3,500 of awesome US companies, you'll be much better off. Number four, key number four, is stick to your plan. I waffled with my plan. I tried to invest in this and then I tried to invest in that. I changed my plan. Find a plan and stick to it. Number five is keep costs low. We will be having a future episode on fees in mutual funds and how to find out exactly what you're paying and how to keep your costs very low. And key number six is use retirement accounts. There's very good tax advantages to using a 401k, for example, at your work, or to use a Roth IRA. They will help cushion your money, help you pay low taxes, and help your money grow and grow and grow. Now, these are a few ideas about investing. It's important that you take these ideas, apply them, and use them. The main takeaway for today's episode, if you're not investing, start today. It's very simple to sign up for an account. It's very simple to choose either a total market index fund or what I call a target date fund. Now, I haven't explained these in the past, but before we close the episode, I need to quickly explain what a target date fund is. A target date fund is a fund that typically will hold about 60 to 70% in US stocks, 20 to 30% in international stocks, and then it will hold some bonds as well. So you'll often see a retirement year next to the target date fund. So target date fund 2045, 20 target date fund 2050. That means that it's expecting you to retire in the year that's labeled on that fund. And what happens is the fund changes over time. It's called a glide path. As you go closer to retirement, the target date fund automatically rebalances, automatically puts more bonds into your portfolio to make your portfolio safer and less volatile, so that when the stock market bounces around, if you have a lot of bonds in there, it will provide you a ballast. It will provide a cushion so that your funds don't drop as much, because when you get close to retirement, you want that to know that money's going to be there. For those people who retired in 2007, 2008, if they were in 100% stocks, they would have lost 50% of their money. If they were in 70% stocks, 30% bonds, they would have lost a lot less. So a target date fund does this all for you. So a lot of 401k plans have target date funds. So either a total market index fund or a target date fund are two great choices of how to get started. That will be all for today's episode. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to the podcast. Please go to your favorite podcast platform and leave a 5-star review and subscribe to the show. You can follow the show on Instagram at simplemoney_simplelife. And remember, the simple life is a good life.